10th, 2017.
60 shekels, it just came out. So if you can just, it just came out a few weeks ago.
Okay.
Welcome, everyone, to our monthly Beit Shemesh Community Beit Midrash Initiative, or in short, BSC-BMI. BMI is Body Mass Index, but after that breakfast, I think we better not talk about that. It's a great honor to have you all. Everyone, please put your cell phones on silent. And before we begin, just want to thank all our sponsoring shuls and organizations that are part of this wonderful experience. I don't have a tally of the number of people here yet, but I can tell you until this point we've had over 1,450 individual people attending. Yes, there are some people. I know some of you thinking, some of them came to all of them, so they're really included as one. I understand that, but it's still 1,450 hours of Torah learning since we started this project. I want to thank my compadres, Mark Watson and Mike Greenwald in particular, for all their help. It would not have happened without them. And I want to thank the committee members who are here, David Rachman Shlita, Ariel Lesnik Shlita, who else? Is anyone here? I can't see everybody here. Some of the other people here. I can't see you right now. I'm too nervous. Okay. Oh, Moshe Raven, Shlita as well. Okay. Before we also begin, ask Rabbi David to say a few brief words of introduction. We have a new sefer from Rav Schechter on the Parsha. It's 60 shekel. It's much cheaper here than at NYU Swarm sale. So please take advantage of it. The swarm in the back, Rav David is here to do the transactions. And without further ado, Rabbi David.
There is a Rashi in this week's Parsha. The Torah says, Hashem tells Moshe Rabbeinu, when they are in a rather beleaguered situation, V'chizakti et leit paro b'radaf achareyem, v'kavadah b'faro v'chol chelo, v'yadu mitzrayim ki ani Hashem v'yasuchem. So Rashi comments, L'hagid shivchan, sheshamu l'kol Moshe, v'lo amru, hech nitkarei b'lofeinu, onu tzrichim livroach. This tells us the Shevach of Klal Yisrael, that to be praised for listening to Moshe Rabbeinu. They could have easily had recourse to the following rationale. Why should we approach those that are pursuing us? We have to flee. We have to run for our lives. Ela amru ein lanu ela divrei ben Amram. We have to listen to the words of Moshe Rabbeinu. In the dor that we're living in today, a dor of tremendous confusion, people are confounded by so many different elements that are out there, discordant elements. It is significant and critical for us to still be connected to our Masorah. And Baruch Hashem, we have people who are Einei Ha'eda and Hagon Rav Herschel Shechter Shlita, who is Mishamish, Gdolei Ador, or previous generations, is certainly in that category. And Baruch Hashem, we have the Zchus to be Mekayim, the words of Rashi, Ein Lanu Ela Divrei Ben Amram. The covered Rav, Rav Shechter.
Thank you very much. The Gemara tells us in quite a few places that Shmuel makes a statement that Dina de Malchusa Dina, in the original context where it's mentioned over and over, it's refused to pay taxes. One is obligated to pay taxes. What is this based on? Shmuel doesn't give any rationale. So they run in the Durham. There are people who don't know the first 25 blood in the Durham. They don't know the last 70 blood in the Durham. They just know this run. And the run is not accepted la'alocha. So they run in the Durham that chav chesem and ala kutz. Bali ha-tesis right. That din in the machus din that you have to pay tax only applies in chutz la'aretz. It doesn't apply in Eretz Yisrael. The theory behind it is that if I have an apartment building and I rent out an apartment to you, I can charge rent. So any given Medina belongs to the king of the Medina. Great Britain belongs to the Queen of England, and France belongs to the King of France. If you have a king, And every country belongs to the king. So the king has the right, if you want to live in his country, he has the right to charge you rent. So the way he charges rent is he charges taxes. The taxes is basically rent. But as far as living in Eretz Yisrael, the Ribbono Shel Olam is the king over Eretz Yisrael. Hashem Hu Malkeinu, as the Venturi Karta National, I think it was. Hashem Hu Malkeinu, okay. So the Ribbono Shel Olam said, Kindalach, he wants all of us to live in Eretz Yisrael. So what king, whether Eretz Yisrael is under Jewish control, or under British control, or under Turkish control, whoever, what king in Eretz Yisrael has the right to charge rent? The Ribbono Shel Olam told us we should all come and live in Eretz Yisrael. So nobody has the right to charge rent. That's a right. So this is not accepted lahalacha. In fact, it's kemat not even quoted in Shulchan Aruch. When the Shulchan Aruch, different parts of the Shulchan Aruch are based on different rishayim. Those who learned Yeridei will remember the beginning of Yeridei, first chelik Yeridei, is all straight from the Rashba and Teres Abayis. Then there are chunks in Choshen Mishpat that are from other rishayim, in the Sefer HaTrumos, the Talmud of the Ramban. Then there at the end of Hilchas Avelis, the end of Yeridei is all from the Ramban and the Teres Ha'Odo, different sections. And different sections of Shulchan Aruch are straight word for word from the Ramban. So the end of Choshen Mishpat, when this din is mentioned, you have to pay taxes. So it's a direct quotation, word for word, from the Rambam, that the melech has the right to charge taxes, afilu, even a king in Kutz Lorenz. The basic din that the king has the right to charge taxes is in Eretz Yisrael, and even a king in Kutz Lorenz, the Amoraim, Shmuel lived in Bavel, and he says you have to pay taxes in Bavel. It means even in Kutz Lorenz, in Eretz Yisrael, you certainly have to pay taxes. What is it based on? So the Bir HaGroa writes over there that it's Shmuel Rishitasoi. This is a little questionable. If you take a look in the Mar Mekaymus, the last Mar Mokam on page 3 is from the Gemara Sanhedrin. The Gemara speaks there about Parshas HaMelech. Parshas HaMelech is the Sefer Shmuel, when Shmuel HaNavi was Shofet, and the nation is requesting they want to have a king. So Shmuel HaNavi tries to dissuade them. The king is going to charge taxes, he's going to take your daughters as pilakshim, he's going to make your sons work in the army, he's going to make your children work for him to build him a palace and so on. It tells them all the terrible things that a king will do. So the Gemara has machlekes for Rabbi Shmuel, what's the story with all the things that Shmuel mentioned? They say, Parshas Melech, Kol Hamad Parshas Melech, Melech Mutabo, and Melech Asabo. So Shmuel says, Kol Hamad Parshas Melech, Melech Mutabo, these are the legitimate rights of the king. He has a right to charge taxes. So the original pasuk that Kolom and Pashas Melech, Melech Mutabo, is a better king, a Jewish king in Eretz Yisrael. And Shmuel HaNavi said he's going to charge taxes. So you see that even a king in Eretz Yisrael, if the Iker Din is a king in Eretz Yisrael, has a right to charge taxes. So it's not the way the Balei HaTosfos said. That's what the Bir HaGroa writes. The Meiri has like that also. This is a little questionable, because then it means that it's only Shmuel Lishitasa, and Rav holds that Kolom Parshas Melech Asabo, that these are not the legal rights of the king. So according to Rav, you don't have to pay taxes. It could be. That's what it sounds from the Meiri from the Bir HaGroa. But it's not too relevant, because we assume that Shmuel, that Kolom Parshas Melech Mutabo, so therefore he does have the right to charge tax. The Pashtus is, however, then even if one would have assumed, like the Ran in the Dorndach of Ches B'Shem the Balei HaTosfos, that you don't have to pay taxes in Eretz Yisrael, that's only Bayam and Bayam Azman Ahu, that the purpose of the taxes was to enrich the king. The Rambam, when the Rambam quotes the din that you have to pay tax, he says, whoever doesn't pay tax, I raise a goizel, minas ha-melech, he's stealing from the king. Today, when you have a democracy, Eretz Yisrael is a democracy, America is a democracy. So whenever you have a democracy, the whole basis of paying taxes is totally different. If you take a look in the Mar Mekaymus on page 3, the two from the Mishnah Brura. So there's one from the Mishnah Brura, the Siman Nun Gimel, and he says every community has an obligation to appoint a Rav in a Maret Tzedek, just like they have an obligation to pay for a mikveh. And they have an obligation to the next Mishnah Brura from Siman, what is it, Kufnun, I think, is that they have to chip in money in order to build the Beis HaKnesses and so on. So this, if you look in the Mishnah Brura, he refers it to Choshen Mishpat. This is in Hilchos Shluchim Shutfin. So the din there is that if you have Shutfin, let's say we have five people joined together, we opened the shoe store, and we're doing very well. We're making a lot of money. Then we have a meeting at the end of the year. Everybody made a lot of profit this year, made a lot of money. Then at the end of the year, we have a discussion. So several of the shutfim decide we should open it instead of everybody taking the rebach that we made this year. Everybody should leave all the rebach, and we should open a branch in Paris, another branch in London, another branch in New York, because we're doing so well. And one of them doesn't want. One of them says, I'd rather leave everything the way it is. Give me my rebach, and I don't want to open another branch. So it says in Shulchan Aruch, based on the Tosefta, that you go basarayv, the shutfim. So four of them say, let's open branches. Don't want you to take any rebach this year. Let's keep all the money and open more branches so we'll make in the future make even five times as much money. And one of them says, not so. So Bir Agra writes, what's the marker for this Tosefta that you go basarayv? So he says, it's a pasuk in Parshas Mishpatim, acharam la'atas. The pasuk doesn't only apply with respect to a split vote in the bezin; it applies to shutfim. If you have shutfim, one shutfim has the right to paralyze all shutfim because he doesn't want. So the din is he go basarayv. If he doesn't like it, if he doesn't want to go along with them, so let him sell his share in the shutfim to someone else. We'll go along with the rayv. So this is in Hilchas shutfim. So this is a case where people won the shtatfu biyachad, the mishtatfu midas. They decided to, five people decided to join together in a shutvis to open a shoe store. And now they have a debate, 4-1, or argument 4-1, should they take the profits that they earned this year? Should they leave all the profits in the business and open up the branches and make more money next year? What happens if people never entered into a shutvis midas, but people all live in the same community together? So then halacha says that people who share certain needs in common, all the people in the community need a mikveh, all the people in the community need a shul, all the people in the community need a bar tzedek, they need a rav, they need a bal tefillah to gam yamim naroyim. So the halacha declares that it becomes shutfim bal karchem, whether they like it or not. They never, not that I moved into the community al das in order to become, I was born there. I was born there. So the halacha says, let's say I live in New York City. So I'm a shutif on three different levels. There are certain things that are taken care of by the municipality. There are certain things in New York that are taken care of by the state. And there are certain things that are taken care of by the federal government. Different highways. We need water filtration. We need garbage collection. We need schools. You go basarayv. The religious Jews in New York don't need public schools. We need yeshivas. We're not interested in public schools. Maybe we are interested. We'd like that the Nachum should be a little educated. But let's say I feel the name of it, not interested in public. But you go basarayv. You go basarayv of the shutfim. So the rayv of the shutfim in New York City want to have public schools, secular public schools. So everyone is mechuyev to chip in, even the Jews that don't have any hanor in the public schools. You go basarayv. Like the other case by the shoe store. We all need the water filtered. We all need the mail delivered. We need an army to protect us. We need all the things. We need highways. We need highways. We need streets in the city. We need highways in the state. We need forests. I don't need a forest, but the right of the people in New York to think the state, they think they need a forest. So we have to have forests. So the din requires I have to pay three different taxes because I'm a shutif on three different levels. On the municipal level, on the state level, and on the national level. So the, like in every community, all the people are considered a shutif. So the Ran quoted that, Ran, the first of the Marmakonis, quoted from the Bali HaTosfos that the basis of the right of the government to charge taxes that the king owns the Medina and HaKadosh Baruch Hu, so the king has the right to charge rent to whoever wants to live in his Medina, so the way he charges rent is you have to pay tax. So that's only when the tax goes to enrich the king. Like the Ram Amrach, I raise the Gozim on Asamel, but by us, the taxes in any democracy don't go to enrich Mr. Trump. They don't go to enrich Netanyahu. He's entitled also to a salary. He does work. If you don't like him, so don't elect him. So elect someone else instead. How much salary he gets, we're the ones who voted in the Knesset, we're the ones who voted in the Congress, and they decided how much of a salary the king should get, how much of a salary the president should get. So anyone who's paid any money, it's not, if you don't pay taxes, you're not gozel menas hamelach. You gozel from all the other shutfim. It's not, let's say, it's not that it's a goyish government, so whoever doesn't pay taxes, gezel akum. It's not gezel akum. Those who do pay taxes, I'm one of the foolish people that does pay taxes. So those Jews that don't pay tax, they're stealing from me. My taxes go up because so many people are cheating, not paying taxes. So they're stealing from the other Shutfim. Like they have Shutfim in a business. And the Shutfim decided that no one should take out the profits. This year we should only take out a little profits. The rest of it should go for furthering the business. So one of the wise guys is going to take more than his share. They're stealing from the other Shutfim. So all the people who live in a democracy are all considered Shutfim together. They're on the way to chip in. Because to pay all the different taxes, the municipal taxes and the estate taxes and so on, to cover all the expenses of the shutfis. So whoever doesn't pay taxes, shaloi kedin, is stealing from the other shutfim. It's not an issue of gezel akum at all. It's gezel yisrael. They quote from the Chazon Ish. Different people quote from the Chazon Ish, and they say that it's really authentic. That he said that if after Hakamas HaMedina, he made the statement that whoever can walk into a government office in Eretz Yisrael and no one is watching, he can walk off with pencils or chairs or furniture or paper or whatever, gizuntahay, you can do that. So they thought that the Chazon Ish was opposed to the Medina. So the Minchas Yitzchak has a whole tshuva. Chazon Ish didn't say it about the Medina. He said it about any democratic country. He would say the same about America and about Britain also. He had this idea, and Minchas Yitzchak writes that his opinion was not accepted. We don't pass like the Chazon Ish on this. He was of the opinion that if you have a king, so the king owns everything in the country. There's such a person, a human being. He owns all the property in the country. If you have a democracy, so you pay your taxes to the government, so who owns all of that money? Who owns the municipal buildings? Who owns the government buildings, federal buildings? So we say the federal government owns it, the municipal government owns it. So the Chazon Ish held that there is no such thing. There is a Chaloshem Bailus, let's say Tzedakah. Who owns the money to Tzedakah? The Chaloshem Tzedakah, it's a corporation of Tzedakah. It's not a person, it's not a group of people. It's a Chaloshem, a corporation of Tzedakah. Based on Migdash, let's say Hegdash. Hegdash means that God owns it. No. Chaloshem Hegdash, that's a Chaloshem Bailam. So the Chazon Ish held, yeah, we hold there is such a thing as a Chaloshem Bailam, but only those that we the Gemara talks of. The Chaloshem Tzedakah owns Mammon, Hegdash owns Mammon, but there's such thing as Chaloshem government owning Mammon. So that's what he said in any democratic country. If you have a king, so the king is the ruler, so the king owns the property. But if you don't have a king, you have a democratic country, so what are you going to say? The government owns it. So his opinion was that there is no such thing as a Chaloshem ownership of a government. So the Minchas Yitzchak was asked a question that in Eretz Yisrael apparently the system is that the government buys up all the pears that grow on all the farms and everything belongs to Tenufa. Tenufa is a branch of the government. Then the government has Mashgiach Moham Mafish Shumas HaMaisim. So according to the Chazon Ish, anything that Tenufa owns is really Hefker. All the people give it to the government means that they're giving up their farmers, they're giving up their ownership. They give it to the government. There's no such thing as a Chaloshem Bailus of governments. Everything is Hefker. So just like Chazon Ish said, whoever can walk off with a table or a chair or a pencil or a pen from the government offices, everything is Hefker. So how can it be Mafish Chumas and Maisis and Tumuvah? So the Minchas Yitzchak has a Chuvah, so he says, all the Gedolim, all the Tzadikim, before Hakamas HaMedina, this was a system that was introduced under the British also, I think he says. He said, this was always the system. He says, obviously, the opinion of the Chazon Ish has not been accepted. We hope that just like there's such a thing as a Chaloshem Bailus of Hegdish and a Chaloshem Bailus of Tzedakah, it's not a person or a group of people who own it. There is a Chaloshem Bailus of government. The government owns it. So it's not that the Chazon Ish had something against it. He had things against it, a tainus against the government. So everybody has tainus. The Chilonim have a bigger tainus than the religious Jews against the government. But this issue has nothing to do with that, because he was of the opinion there's no such thing as Chaloshem Bailus of the government. So that's one aspect of Dina de Machus Dina, but you get the taxes. That's where it's mostly mentioned in the Gemara. Take a look, the second of the Marmakoimus on page 2. So there's a very peladiki Gemara in Bava Kama. It seems to be so unfair. The Gemara says, if a Yisrael and a Knaini is probably touched up by the censor. I didn't check to see what the original Girsa was. The Yisrael and a non-Jew come for a Din Torah. So how should the Bezdin pass them? So he says you should always favor the Jew. So we know that the Bnei Noach, the Nochem have their own system, legal system, and the Jews have a legal system. We have Kaishan Ishba and they have secular law. So him at the yochel zakas Yisrael by paskin by dina Torah, the paskin by dina Torah. If he can be zakas the Yisrael by dina ibn noyach, so he paskin the dina noyach. What kind of a law is that? That's so unfair. So the Rambam quotes it in the third of the Marmukaimis, and the Rambam writes the royally that this only applies if it's a nochri who's an oyved avod zarah. So we're out to penalize him. We want to punish him. So that's why we say we're always out to get him. So we should always seek to it that Yisrael should win the din Torah, either b'dini Yisrael or b'dini b'nei noyach. What if he's a regular nochri nishken oyved avod zarah? So then what's the din? So we're not out to get him. So then the Rambam says you follow b'dini b'nei noyach. Why? Because that's halacha dina machus adin. Dina machus adin is another din that the goyish government has a right to institute chukim and mishpatim. They have a right to formulate a legal system. They have a right and obligation to formulate a legal system. So this is in disagreement. The pashtus it's against the Ramban and Chumash. The Ramban and Chumash and pashtus vayishlach. Talks about Shimon the Levi wiping out the whole city Shem. So the Ramban writes, the Rambam says, in Mishnah Torah, the Ramban quotes in the Rambam and Mishnah Torah, what right do they have to wipe out the whole city? So he says, one of the seven mitzvahs ben anoyach is dinim. And dinim means that the Nochem are obligated to set up a court system, and to punish violators who violate who do crimes. So they saw over here that Shechem raped Dina and nobody lifted a finger, nobody did anything, so they all deserved an ishmisa because they violated one of the Sheva Mitzvahs Menoyach. And the Gemara says Azarasim Zulim Misosim, when the Nochrim violate any one of the Sheva Mitzvahs, as a Gezel, so by us you stole, so we have to pay back the money. And if you did Geneva instead of Gzeva, then you have to pay Kefal. Okay. So by the B'nai Noach, the Gemara says, the Chayit Misa for Gezel, the Chayit Misa for everything. So the Rambam says, not only a Chidush and the Rambam, not only are the Chayit Misa, if they violate an Adair Bikum V'Yasei, if they don't fulfill a Mitzvah Sesei, they had a Mitzvah Sesei to bring Shechem to court and to punish him, and they didn't fulfill the Mitzvah Sesei by bringing him to court and punishing him, so therefore they deserve the Noinish Misa. So there's room to distinguish over here. You can say, Asarasam Zuli Misasam. If the Nochri, the Gemara says the Nochri is Chai Misa, if he steals even a Pachas Mishar Puta. If he steals, he didn't have there, Bikum B'Yasei. But he didn't B'Shei B'Al Tasei, he didn't fulfill the mitzvah of Dinim. Or let's say, the Gemara says that B'nei Keturah Achai B'Nilo. So there's a Machlekes Rashi in the Rambam, what it means. So Rashi says, Avram Avinu had children from Keturah. So Avram Avinu had an obligation to do a Bris Milah on those B'nei Keturah. But the Arabs today, who may possibly be descendants of the B'nai Keturah, they're Nochrim. They're not Chayv and Mila. They're only Chayv and Hashem and Mitzmenach. So that's what Rashi says. And the Rambam has an unusual, very strange opinion. All the Arabs today are welcome to observe Mila because maybe they are B'nai Keturah. Those who are descendants from the B'nai Keturah are all Chayv and Mila today. There's more. So let's say any Arab who doesn't perform Bris Mila, we should give him the death penalty because he didn't fulfill the mitzvah Mila. So one would have said, no, you don't give the death penalty for failing to fulfill the mitzvah sesei. You give the death penalty if the nochri violated the lois sesei. They violated the gom sesei. The Rambam b'shitasa holds not so. Just like he said that by the Shimon the Levi had the right and the obligation to wipe out the whole city of Shechem because they didn't fulfill the mitzvah sesei of dinan, taking Shechem and bringing him to court and punishing him. So for failing to fulfill the mitzvah, the chai misa. So the Rambam says any Arab who doesn't mal himself today should also be Chai Misa. Says the reason why they're not Chai Misa because we don't know who's really B'nai Keturah. Some of them are B'nai Keturah, some of them not, so it's a suffer. But if you know B'vadai that someone's from the B'nai Keturah and he didn't fulfill the mitzvah Mila, so then the Rambam would say Lushitasa. He says there is an Oinash Misa, even though he didn't violate the Lois Sese, he violated the B'shei the Altase, he violated the mitzvah Sase. So the Ramban Chumash quotes this from the Rambam. That's why the B'nai Keturah were Chayv Misa. He doesn't agree. He doesn't agree with the Rambam. He thinks they were Chayv Misa because all the people in the city Shechem, it was Yadua that they violated Avodah Zarah, Gilui Rashi, Chasdam, they violated other Avodahs, but not because of Dinim. So the Ramban says, what is Dinim? What does Dinim mean? He thinks that it doesn't make sense. Avodah Daiti, Dinim doesn't mean that they should institute a whole legal system. He says, no. The B'nai Noach have to observe all the dinim that we have. Everything that we have, the Nochamam Chuyav to observe everything that we observe. So this is very paladic. The Rambam writes, the Rambam writes, Achumish Oynes and Mefata. It sounds like it means you have to pay the Hamishim Shekel Kesef Oynes and Mefata. The Gemara said, Beferish, I think it's in today's Sedrish, Shom Sam Lachokam Mishpo Vesham Nisa, when they went to the city Mora, said they were given Chokam Mishpo. So the Gemara said, Dinim were given in Mora. The Gemara said, Dinim were given in Mora, but all the B'nai Nerach and Mechuyiv and Dinim from before. So what's new? This is all Knas. Those that know the Gemara, that's Knas. So the Gemara says, the Pharisees that Benef don't have Oynes and Mefata. So that line in the Ramban is very difficult. There's a famous Chuvas HaRamah, which is based on this Ramban. Very difficult Chuvas HaRamah. The Ramah's cousin was, he was a rabbi in Italy. What was his name? Maran Padua. Maran Padua was a rabbi in Italy. So the Maran Padua went together to Shutfis with a Nochri public, a printer, and he printed the Rambam. He didn't have a copyright on the Rambam. He didn't write the Rambam, but he reprinted the Rambam and he put his Hagos. The Hagos in the Maran Padua, you probably never even noticed it. The Hagos in the Maran Padua, it's a little humorous what the Rambam has. You look in the Rambam, everybody knows what it looks like. You have the Magen Mishnah, the Kesef Mishnah, the Lechem Mishnah, and Mishnah Melech, and then Migdalos. Everybody knows about that. And then every 10th page on the bottom of the Rambam, text of the Rambam, before you get to the commentaries on the side on the bottom, there's a little line on the bottom. It says, Turcha Shemishpat Siman Ein Gimel. Or it says, Betfus Venetia has a different use. So those lines, that's called the Hagos of the Maran Padua. It's pretty insignificant. The boys of learning in Shivas don't even know that it exists. They never even notice that there's, every 10th page there's a line like that. So the Ramon makes a whole big tzimtzum about those Hagos of Maran Padua. So what happened was, the Maran Padua went into Shutfus with a Nochri, a printer, and he printed a Rambam with his Hagos, and they were selling it. So then another Nochri printer wanted to put his competition out of business. So he printed a Rambam. He didn't have the right to print the Hagos of the Maran Padua, so he printed a regular Rambam with the Magen Mishnah, the Kesef Mishnah, Mishnah Melech, a normal Rambam without. And he was selling it for less than the other fellow. He was taking a loss in order to put the other guy out of business. So everybody's going to buy the less expensive Rambam. So the Maran Padua asked the Ramah, write a tshuva that no one should buy from the other guy because they're going to be matzid nimam. So the Ramah writes a whole tshuva. I find it very strange. He didn't, once he doesn't write the whole tshuva that it's his cousin. I thought that was very unfair. Why the Ramah didn't write that the one who, the Maran Padua, was his cousin. He just writes the Talmud Chacham, Maran Padua, right? And he gives a whole bunch of reasons, I think four different reasons, why you're not allowed to buy the other edition of the Rambam. So one of the reasons that he gives is a shtickle humorous. He says the Gemara has a din, a pasuk, al tashkin ba'olecha avlo. You're not allowed to keep in your home a sefer sheina muga. Let's say a sefer Torah that has mistakes in it. So you're not allowed to keep it around the house because you're going to read the wrong thing. So he says you're not allowed to have a normal Rambam without the Hagos of the Maran Padua, because it's safe as Shein HaMuga. No one even knows. The boys in Yeshiva don't even know that there's a line every 10th page. Hagos makes it a safe as Shein HaMuga. It's a little humorous. Then he has another reason that sounds so humorous. He quotes the Ramban on Chumash that Dinim for the Bnei Nef does not give them the right to make their own legal system. They have to follow everything that it says in Chodesh Mishpat. They have to follow Yerudea, Ebenezer, Arachaim, that's for us, but Chashim Mishpat, they have to follow everything that it says in Chashim Mishpat. One of the dinim, there's a quirk, one of the dinim that it says in Chashim Mishpat is the Gemara Bava Basra in the second parak. The Gemara says, two people come to town, they're selling cosmetics. So they go full of brush, mate. They go out the door, they're selling toothbrush, whatever, cosmetics for women. So one is a Talmud Chacham, and one is a Balabas. So the Talmud Chacham has to make a parnasa. He spends a lot of time knocking on the door selling. So if he'll have more time, then he'll be able to learn. So the Gemara says, Naktina Leshuka. The rabbi in the city has to announce the Balabas has no right to go sell his merchandise until Talmud Chacham sells out all that he sold, all he has to sell first, in order that he should be able to sit and learn. So this din is mentioned in Chashim Mishpat. So the Ramah says, anything in Chosh Mishpat, the goyim have to follow. What do you mean? The goyim am chiv to be matzik taifa? They have to support liman atayr? It's a teledigi Ramah. I don't know, some, the reasons that he gives are very strange. So that's the, it's a very long Chuvah Ramah. It's a very famous Chuvah Ramah. But those two reasons, the Sefer Sheina Muga reason and this reason, he goes with the Ramban and Chumash that the Nochem have to follow all the Dini HaTorah, and one, they have to follow everything that's in Chosh Mishpat, and this din is also in Chosh Mishpat. It was put in Chosh Mishpat by mistake. It belongs in Yeridei, in Hilchos Talmud Torah, Hilchos Hachzokas Talmid HaChachamim. I find it very strange. So the Pashtus is that the Nochrim do have the right, not like the Ramban, not like the Ramban. The Pashtus is the Nochrim, part of the Dinim is not only they have to set up a system of courts, they have to set up a legal system also. If they want to accept Chosh Mishpat Gezuntahe, if they want to make up their own legal system also Gezuntahe. So this is the Pshat in the Ramban before that, Gemara and Bava Kama and Af Kuf Yud Gimel. Gemara says, if an Oibid Abed Zora, Nochri Oibid Abed Zora, and a Yisrael and a Jew come for a Din Torah, so the Rambam says we're out to punish the Nochri who's Oved Avod Zarah, so we always paskin in favor of the Jew. If we can favor the Jew by paskining Dini HaTorah, so we paskin like that. If we can, the Jew will win by paskining by Nidah Bin Anoyah, we'll paskin like that. What if the Nochri is not an Oved Avod Zarah, not gunning out to punish him? So then we don't say we're always out to favor the Yisrael. So what would the din be then? So the Rambam says the din is you follow the din of Bnei Noach, because the Bnei Noach have the right to establish their own legal system. In America, the government has its own legal system. It doesn't correspond to what it says in Chosh Mishpat, but once in a while it does correspond. Sometimes it does correspond. Very often it does not correspond. Hilchos Mavo Veloy, Hilchos Nezikin, Hilchos Shomer. A lot of times it does not correspond to Chosh Mishpat. So the Rambam is saying, this is the Pashtus from Gemara also, whenever you have one of the people involved is a Ben Noach, is a Nochri, one of the two parties, or both of the parties are Bnei Noach, so the law, the din applies, the din of Bnei Noach apply. Whatever the din of Bnei Noach in that country are, apply. If all the parties involved are Jewish, then the Shach says many times, there's a long Shach over here, here the Shach on the top of page 3, this is a kitzur of the Shach, I think. It's a much longer Shach. So the Shach says, he quotes from the Rashbah and the Rishonim. What are you going to say? Dina the Machus Adina, so we should throw away, put all the Chosh Mishpat in the Shemis. We don't follow Chosh Mishpat anymore. So he says, no, whenever all the parties involved are Jewish, then we don't follow Dina Machus. Whenever one of the two parties, or both of the parties, are Nachrim, then you follow Dina Bnei Noach. There was in Tzfat, in the 1500s, during the lifetime after Rabbi Yosef Kari passed away, during the lifetime of Rabbi Yosef Kari, he was the El Talmud Chacham, there was the Maharit Tzahalom. There were two people at the same time who were called Maharitats. So one was Rabbi Yontef Tzahalom, he lived in Tzfat, and the other one was Rabbi Yosef Taita Tzak, he was a Rav in Constantinople, I think. He wrote his own Shabbos Truths. So the Maharit Tzahalom, Maharitats in Tzfat, he was known after the Beis Yosef passed away, he said there was a whole Asik with one of his sons. One son was married and died, leaving no children. So the other son was supposed to either do Yibum or Chalitza. So by the Sfardim, they still did Yibum. They still observed Yibum. So the other son, the surviving son of the Beis Yosef, was married already, and they didn't have the Chem der Rabbeinu Gershon not to marry Sekhma. So he wanted to do Yibum on his brother's Almana. And her name was Simcha Vital. She was the sister of Rav Chaim Vital. So the father told her, don't agree to do Yibum, because he's not going to treat you. He has an older wife. He has the first wife. He's going to treat you, he's not going to treat you nicely. So she insisted she wants Chalitza, and he insisted he wants Yibum, and it was a stalemate. So it was a whole hullabaloo then. It's a whole long story. So the Maharitats became famous then. He wrote a whole tshuva explaining why the rabbi in Sfat gave an incorrect psalm. So everybody realized what a big Talmud Chacham he was. So he writes in his Chuvas, that's just to identify, he became famous then with the Psak about the Chalitza story. So one of his Chuvas he writes, as a young person, he was sent as a Shliach by the Rabbanim in Tzfat. Most of the Talmid Chachamim in Eretz Yisrael lived in Tzfat at that time. Very few lived in Yerushalayim. For different reasons, because the water was polluted in Yerushalayim, because they were hoping after 1492, 1497, that's when Tzfat became big. All the people who left Spain and Portugal moved, many of them moved to Tzfat. So they were, somehow they thought that it's time for Mashiach to come. And Eliyahu HaNavi, the Gemara says in Erevin, Eliyahu HaNavi is going to appear in front of the Bez Magadol to announce that tomorrow Mashiach is going to be. Hina Nech Shalech Lechem, it's Eliyahu HaNavi. Lefnei Bo Yom Hashem Magadol Manavi. So Gemara in Erevin understands the day before Eliyahu HaNavi appears, the day before Mashiach comes, Eliyahu HaNavi will appear for the Bez Magadol. Where's the Bez Magadol going to be located? So the Gemara says in Rosh Hashanah, Esek Goli is Gosa Sanhedrin. Corresponding to the at the time of the Churban Bayis Rishon, the Shechina left the Kodesh HaKadoshim in 10 stages. Esek Goli is Gosa Shechina. So parallel to that, at the time of the Churban Bayis Sheni, so the Bez Nagoro went to Golis. Esek Goli is Gosa Sanhedrin. And then the Gemara says, and the Rambam quotes all of this, that every day the Bez Nagoro would go home and eat supper with their wives, and then they would reconvene tomorrow morning. Then they go home next night, eat supper with their wives, to leap at home, then they come back to reconvene the next morning. So the last location where they met 1500 years ago, they're going to reconvene as if it's just overnight. They're going to come back. So wherever they met last, the last place where they met is somewhere in Galil, Tveria, Usha, Shfaram, Tzipori, somewhere over there. So that's why these tzaddikim, they were hoping to be Mekabel Penei Eliyahu HaNavi. We talk about being Mekabel Pnei Moshiach Tzidken. The Gemara talks about being Mekabel Pnei Eliyahu HaNavi. So they wanted to be Mekabel Pnei Eliyahu HaNavi. HaNavi is supposed to come to the Bez Nagodol. Bez Nagodol is supposed to reconvene somewhere in the north over there in Galil. That's a few years ago when they started the Sanhedrin. So they started in Tveria, I think. Because it's somewhere over there that the Rambam quotes from the Gemara that the Bez Nagodol is supposed to reconvene. So most of the Rabbanim lived in Tzfas at that time. Very few lived in Yerushalayim. So the Maritatz writes in his Chuvus, he was a young man, he was sent as a shliach to the Jews who lived in the Arab countries bordering on Eretz Yisrael, that many of them were following Dinei HaNochrim with respect to Yerusha. So when a Jew dies, there are dinim who gets the Yerusha. The wife collects a ksuga, and then the sons get, and if there are no sons, that the grandchildren get, and the daughters get, all the dinim, all the mishnais and yesh nachlim. So the Jews were observing all the dinim ben Noach. They thought dinim the machlutz dinim. We follow all the dinim ben Noach. So the Maritatz writes, Maritza Havon writes, he was sent as a shliach to tell all the people that it's not correct. Shach has this also over here. I don't think he quotes it from Maritatz. He didn't have the Jewish Maritatz. They just printed it recently. Machon Yerushalayim printed it. But he quotes some other early poskim like that. If all the people involved are Jewish, then dinim the machlutz doesn't apply. But if one of the parties involved, or both of the parties involved, are nochrim, so then the halacha sets in that you say dinam machus et dinam. Is there ever a case where all the parties involved are Jewish and will still apply dinam machus et dinam? So the Shach writes that there are two exceptions to the rule, the two cases that yes. This is this long Shach on the top of page 3. So one exception to the rule he has is whenever bayas in halacha, the halacha has nothing to say about the case, then we do follow dinim machus. He repeats it a few times. So what do you mean the halacha has nothing to say? Where is there a case the halacha has nothing to say? So that's what some of the rabbanim in our generation said. The halacha says nothing about corporations. Halacha says nothing about buying online. There are no halachas about that. So whenever there's no halacha, so then we follow dinim machus. So the Chazon Ish has a hasoge on the Shach. He says, what in the world is he talking about? The Allah has something to say about every case. Either the Allah says you're kind, you're not kind. Either the Allah says you're chayv, you're not chayv. You may not know what the Allah is, so break your head and figure out what the Allah is. No such thing as the Allah does not have anything to say about the case. I remember a few years ago, there was some Jewish person, I think it became about tshuva later in life. He teaches in, he teaches in Yale, if I'm not mistaken. So he's the one who has the patent on the what's it called on the Kindle or something that you could read pages of a book. He has probably has 1,000 patents. So he tells me that he came to YU because he came to YU to recruit some students to help him work. So he says his first love was law. I guess he went to law school. And then he was bored with the law, then he went into physics. So he's making all these patents, all the different inventions that he has. A genius. Then he got bored with that, and now he's doing genetic engineering. So he's mixing in genes from carrots into animals, genes from animals into carrots, making all kinds of things. He visited the yeshiva. Now he has, when he visited the yeshiva, he said he had a chavrus every day to learn daf yomi. He moved quite far, and he became a balshula, really. So he came the day after the daf yomi was learning at Gemara in Chulin, where the Mishnah talks about human beings who grow from the ground. So he said, it doesn't exist yet. The Rambam writes in the Pirusha Mishnayos, you shouldn't laugh, because he read in the books it really exists. So this genius was telling me, it doesn't exist yet, it's not so right. He says, he may make one. He's working on it. He's mixing all the genes. He may yet make such a thing come into existence. So he was coming to recruit some brilliant students in the yeshiva to help him do the work over there. So he said, he studies Gemara now. He studies a lot of Gemara. And he came to the realization that in secular law, when his first love was law, secular law, you can draw up a contract that has an agreement between two parties that's not covered with any of the din and the machus at all. And he says, in halacha, he has the impression that there is no such thing. Every single case is covered by the halacha. Every single case. When you learn Mishnayos Yevamos, every single possible combination is mentioned in the Mishnah. Two brothers married to two sisters, two brothers married to not two sisters. Unbelievable. Every single case is covered by the Mishnah, but also every single case is covered by the halacha. So that's what the Chazon Ish is masigan shah. There is no such thing as a case that's not covered by the halacha. What do you mean? The halacha doesn't say anything about corporations. So you have to figure out why the corporation, do we recognize the chalashem bylaws of corporation, or do we not recognize that we should treat it like a shutfus? That's a big machlokes. Moshe Feinstein is a machlokes in Europe 100 years ago when they started corporations. All the Gedolim in Europe had a machlokes. Moshe Feinstein was of the opinion that we don't accept the din and the machlus of corporation. We treat all the people who have shares in a corporation as shutfim, but it's limited liabilities, that's all. They agreed Melech HaTchil is limited liabilities, so there's not going to be any Shibra Guf on them, only going to be Shibra Nechos. And many other Gedolim said, no, in Europe, many Gedolim, before Moshe was born, there are many who held that just like the Halacha recognizes a Chaloshem Bailus of Tzedakah, a Chaloshem Bailus of Hedish, and a Chaloshem Bailus of government, you haven't accepted that Chazon Ish, so they accept the Chaloshem Bailus, since the Dina Machusa invented this new gimmick, this shtick of a corporation, so the Halacha will recognize that Chaloshem Bailus as well. So the Shach says that there's one exception to all the parties involved are Jewish. We would rely on Dina Machusa in a case where the Halacha has nothing to say. So the Chazon Ish thinks that that doesn't exist. There is no such case. Then, in America, 90 years ago, New York, 90 years ago, there used to be shtick. Jewish people who owned a shop and they had workers would only hire Jewish workers because the government had laws of minimum wages. And they said that if we're going to hire Nachrim, so then the Dina Machus is binding. So if we hire Jews, so both parties involved are Jewish, the Dina Machus doesn't apply, so we don't have to pay minimum wages. And then there were Jewish landlords who would rent out apartments that only rent to Jews because there was rent control laws. So the rent control laws don't apply if you're renting to a Jew. Both parties are Jewish, so the Dina Machus doesn't apply, so we can rip off the tenants and charge whatever we want. So at that time, Rav Henkin was the Poisik in New York before Moshe came on the scene. So he published a tshuva at that time. He says that that's not correct. The halacha says that din and the machusa doesn't apply for all the parties involved are Jewish. That's by Yerusha, that's by Choy Bulamazik, that's by Malva Veloiva. But if the government makes a takon of the tikkun ha'olam, like rent control or minimum wages, or you can't charge too much, can't make too much profit on necessities, if he's selling milk and cheese and eggs, people need it to live on. Ice cream, you can charge whatever you want. You want to sell jewelry, charge whatever you want. But if you're selling necessities, so the government has rules and regulations, you shouldn't rip the people off. There's a limit how much profit you can make. So whenever the government has the right and the obligation to institute such laws. And if the government doesn't do it, so the Bezit should make such laws. So those laws are binding even if all the parties involved are Jewish. That's Letikon Hamdina. The same thing, let's say, bankruptcy laws. Bankruptcy laws were introduced because it's a person makes one mistake in business, then he'll be in the blood for the rest of his life. He ruined his whole life. He'll have to pay out all the debts to the other one. He'll never be able to make a living. So they made a takon l'tikan amdina that you have a right to declare bankruptcy. So the pashtus is that one declares bankruptcy, he doesn't have to pay even the chayvus that he owed to the Jews also, even though din al-machusa doesn't apply if all the parties involved are Jewish. But here it's a takon l'tikan amdina. So just like the rent control or the minimum wages and so on, so bankruptcy was also a takon l'tikan amdina. So that would apply. Then the Shach quotes another exception to the rule from the Bali Atesis. The Mordechai quotes a lot from the Bali Atesis. The Shach quotes another exception to the rule where all the parties involved are Jewish and Din and Mahusa does apply. When is that? So take for example, there's a famous Yerushalmi above Metzia, Minig Oikar Halacha. What does it mean, Minig Oikar Halacha? In America, the minig is that the people don't observe Shabbos. People don't observe Shabbos. Minig Oikar Halacha. So minig Oikar Halacha only applies in Dini Mamas. That's a double push. And what does it mean, minig Oikar Halacha? So the context where the Yerushalmi says it is on the Mishnah. The Mishnah establishes a din based on the Pasuk in Bochi Nafshi. So the Mishnah says that a worker is mechuyav to work, I think, from Alos al Shachar till Tzeisat Kochavim. Fine. So let's say I hire a worker and I tell him I'll pay him $5,000 a week. And he works from 9 to 5. Come the end of the week, he wants his $5,000. I said, you didn't come from Alos al Shachar to Tzeisat Kochavim. So he said, who, what, when? He never heard of it. So I said, it's enough in the Mishnah. The Pasuk in Baruch Hanash. Yetziyot may have to work from Alos al Shachar to Tzeisat Kochavim. He says, but nobody works like that. So what if I would hire a person, $5,000 a week, you should only work between 12 in the afternoon and 1 o'clock, $5,000. I said beferish how much you should work, from 12 to 1. But I said beferish, it's beferish. If I didn't say how long you should work, so then the Mishnah learns off in the psukim from Alos HaShachar till Tzeisakon. What if the minhag HaMedina is that everybody works from 9 to 5? So then Yerushalmi says that even though they never said explicitly, but since that's a minig hamdina, so whatever is a minig is considered kila hisnu, it's self-understood, as if they had made it tonight. So if hisnu, if they would have made it tonight, that only has to work is from 12 to 1, only has to work from 9 to 5, and he gets to $5,000 a week, so then he gets it. If hisnu, if they made it tonight, is good. So whatever is minig hamdina is considered kila hisnu. Quite a few years ago, the OU presidents are usually lawyers. Who's the president now? Who's the president of the OU now? Bain. So Moshe Bain, he's a lawyer. One before him, I don't know, maybe he was an accountant, I forgot it, Nachmanson. But at that time, they were all lawyers. So apparently, the way they appoint, at that time, this was 30 years ago, something like that, 35 years ago, I don't know. Apparently, the OU has a whole, have all the bylaws in their constitution, and apparently they were violating their bylaws the way they were appointing the president. So there was another lawyer, I forgot his name already, there was another lawyer who wanted to run as president, and he was going to parcel up the whole system that the OU had because everything was in violation of all of their bylaws and their constitution. So the people in the OU who were running the show, they said they're going to put, so the other fellow, also they were all religious Jews, the other fellow wanted to take them to secular courts. So they said, not allowed to go to secular court, not allowed to go to our courts. So they said, go for a dinner. So they wanted to go to this one, they had to go to the other one. They couldn't agree who they're going to go to. So finally, they both agreed to go to Dr. Lim. They both trusted Dr. Lim. So that time, Dr. Lim discussed it with the rabbein. What's the din over here? So one of the rebbe showed him there's a tshuva that Tzitzel has exactly the same shaila. What's the labor union called in Eretz Yisrael? The Histadrut. So apparently the Histadrut also has a constitution, and they were also violating what it said in the constitution when it came to electing the president of the Histadrut or something like that. But they had been violating it for years and years. That's the way they always did. So he said, so he paskin, since it says in the constitution that if they want to, they can reconvene and change the rules in the constitution. It's not from the Taryag Mitzvahs. They have a right to change it. They can make amendments. No din bal toseset bal tigra. And since they've been doing it like that for 30 years already, so the minig is like a halacha. The minig demonstrates kilu hisnu, as if they said, as if they had convened, and they changed the laws. So that's what Dr. Lane said, just like the Tzitz Eliezer said there. It's the same thing over here. The OU had been run like this for 30 years already. They were violating the rules and regulations in the Constitution. So that's based on these Mishnahs, that whatever is in a kamdina is considered kilu hisnu, whatever hisnu, so then you have a right to do it. So that's what the Yerushalmi says, minig oiker halacha, that the din should it be, the halacha should have been, hamoitza machaber olavara, you come at the end of the week, and you want me to pay you the $5,000 that I promised you in advance. And I said, but you didn't work all day long. According to the Baruch HaNafshi regulation, you're supposed to work from Alos HaShachat until it says, come, you didn't do it. So you should, I'm the Mukhsok, and you're Hamoitza Machaber, all of Arash, so you should, the burden of proof should be on you. How are you going to prove that you only have to work from 9 to 5? So the answer is, since the Minhag HaMdina is like that, that everybody only works from 9 to 5, the Minhag HaMdina makes it Kilu Hisnu, and then you don't say Hamoitza Machaber, all of Arash. So that's called Minhag Oiker Halacha. The Mogen Avraham quotes this when the Rama talks about Klap and Haman and Hilchas Purim. So the question is, going to make noise when you Klap Haman? So you're going to, the people are going to miss a couple of words here and there. Every time the Balkari says Haman, they're going to make so much noise that people are going to miss it. So they discuss over there the possibility of saying Minigar Kaloch. They say Minigar Kaloch only applies in Dini Mamun. It doesn't apply anywhere. Minigar Kaloch means whatever the Minig is considered Kila Hisman. So that's what the Shach, this gigantic Shach, quotes from the Mordechai in the name of the Balei HaTosis. If a Jew is in business, and when a Nochri comes, he keeps in mind Dina de Machusa, because when he deals with a Nochri, since one part is a Nochri, so Dina Machusa plus. When a Jew comes to his business, he has to screw his head on differently, and he has to think in terms of Dina HaTorah. What if a customer comes, he doesn't know whether he's Jewish or a Goy, he has to ask him, are you Jewish or are you Goy, in order to know how to screw his head on. So the Shach quotes from the Mordechai quotes from the Balei HaTosis, if a person deals in business with Jews and non-Jews, and when he deals with the non-Jews, he has no brera, he's going to follow Dina de Machusa. Dina Machusa applies automatically. So it's self-understood, the Minhag HaMdina was, by the Balei HaTosis, that even when he dealt with the Jews, even when he knew that the fellow's a Jew, Lama Boifer doesn't know if he's Jew or not, even if he knows that he's a Jew, since when he deals with the Nochrim, he deals according to the Dina Machusa. So the meaning was that even when they dealt with Jews, it's considered Hila Hisno that we're going to follow Dina de Machusa, and Dina de Machusa would apply over there. Okay, if Hisno. So it's not that we're done Bidin Ahem, the Chazon Ish writes, when the Chazon Ish writes about it, it's not we're done Bidin Ahem, it becomes Dineinu. If two Jews went into a business together, and they said, if any issue comes up, we want to follow Dina de Machusa. They have a right to make such a Tanai. They're not allowed to go to our koyes. That's an isa. To go to a Goyish, they have to go to a bezna of three Jewish people. But the bezna not allowed to pass on based on choshen mishpat, because since they made a tanai in advance, and we want to follow dina machutza, so the bezna has to pass on according to dina machutza. So rather than pick three rabbis, they should pick three religious lawyers who are bnei Torah, and they should pass on according to what the dina de machutza is. There's another point of dina de machutza dina, which the Shach speaks about in Hilchas Ribis of all places. That's on the page 2, next to the last Marah Makom. So in Hilchas Ribis, the Shulchan Aruch there talks about, I lent you money on the old monetary system. Then the government changed all the old monetary system. The government said, whoever owed $1,000 on the old system has to pay back so much money on the new system. Right? So it says that Dina Machusa applies over there. So the Shach has a very long Shach there. We just quoted one line from the Shach. So the Shach there raises the issue, is this what it says in the Rishonim, and how far do you apply Dina Machusa? There are those Rishonim who are of the opinion that Dina Machusa only applies, the government has a right to charge tax, they don't have a right to make up a whole legal system. So over here, the government is saying whoever owed $1,000 before has to pay back 50 zlotys or 50 rubles now. So does the government have the right to do that? So the Shach says, yes. Why? First of all, it's up that we don't pass them like that cheap. We don't accept that opinion. Adina Mechusa Dina only applies to paying taxes. We accept the Shita. Adina Mechusa means they have the right to make a whole system. And even if it's not so, even if you hold that the government only has the right to charge taxes, they have no right to institute a whole new legal system, he says, but as far as what's called money, matbeis, we have a din of kesef and shovei kesef. All of those who are married, so our practice is we get married to kesef. The Mishnah says there are three ways to make kiddushin. The Rambam says two of them are Torah shebechsav, and kesef is Torah shebalpeh. And then he adds on a kvanogu kol Yisrael lekadosh b'kesef. The meaning by the Jews is Then we're kind of, what do you mean by the Jews as opposed to what is he driving at? So the Pashtus and the Rambam is the meaning by the Jews, the Shomer Mitzvah, as opposed to the Karaites. The Rambam every so often has a line. The Rambam was fighting with the Karoim in Egypt. So the Karaites never accepted Torah Shabbat Peh. So none of them have Kiddushi Kesef. The three different groups of Karaites, in Africa, in Asia, and in Europe, and each group has different shtick. And one of the things that they all have in common is there's no Kiddushi Kesef, because that's Torah Shabbat Peh. So the Rambam starts with El Chasish, three ways to get married, and Kiddushi Kesef is only Torah Shabbat Peh. We don't even give Kesef, we give Shavu Kesef, we give a ring. So that's Torah Shabbat Peh, on top of Torah Shabbat Peh. That's on the first Mishnah in Kiddushin. So Taisvus and all the Rishonim discuss, how did the Mishnah know that Shavu Kesef is Kekesef? It's never explained in the Gemara. So we do Torah Shabbat Peh on top of Torah Shabbat Peh. We are Makbid Davke to give Shavu Kesef. Meaning is, you're not Mekadosh B'Matbeah. You give a Shavu Kesef instead. The Rambam says from the Zohar, meaning is that you give a tabas. Okay, that's based on the Zohar. The girl should go around, everybody should know that she's taken. But the meaning is to do Shavu Kesef and not Kesef. So the Rambam says, no, God sell the Kaddish be Kesef, that the Orthodox Jews who follow the Masorah of the Torah Shabbat Peh want to demonstrate that we subscribe to the Torah Shabbat Peh, so we do Kiddushi Kesef. So usually in Kol HaTarukula, Shavu Kesef is Kesef. There are several exceptions to the rule. So the Gemara says in B'chorus and Daf Nun Aleph that there's a price that there are three exceptions to the rule. Pidyon HaBen doesn't have to be done Daf Kekesef. Pidyon HaBen can be Shavu Kesef also. But Pidyon Hekdush also, even that says Nasna Kesef Kamlo, Shavu Kesef is also good. But the Gemara says Pidyon Maisa Sheni can only be done B'Kesef. That's Gemara's in Perek HaZov and Mishnah is like that. Can only be Pidyon Maisa Sheni on Kesef. Shavu Kesef is not acceptable. And what else? Machtes HaShekel has to be Davke Kesef. If you give Shavu Kesef, you're not Yotze. That's a big discussion. What is the Girsa in the town? We don't have any Bavli on Shkolim, we have only Yerushalmi. So the question, what the Girsa in Yerushalmi is, whether this din, that Shavu Kesef, is not acceptable for Machtes HaShekel, is that a din deraisa, a din derabbah? So Moshe Feinstein, in his Chus, he bemoans the fact that his main life's work was his commentary on Yerushalmi, not his Chulas. The Chulas used to write between Mincha Ma'ariv 1-2-3. He didn't pay so much attention to them. And when he ran away from the communists, he had to leave behind his manuscript on Yerushalmi. So that's, he felt his whole life's work was left behind, and he bemoans the fact that it's gone, it's lost. So he says, in my Sefer on Yerushalmi, I established that the correct reading should be that this is a din derais. Then Machtes HaShekel, you have to dafke give kesef, Shavu Kesef is no good, that's also a din derais. Others write before Rav Moshe, others write based on different gears in Yerushalmi that it's only a din mederabbanan, whatever. Then third din that you need dafke kesef, not Shavu Kesef, that for sure is a din derabbanan. When the oil of Golem come to Yerushalayim on Pesach Shavu Sukkos and they want to purchase oil of Sriya, so they have to buy, they have to pay dafke with kesef, not Shavu Kesef. The Rashi and Chorus and Daf and Aleph quotes Yerushalmi that's only a reason, that's only a Zera de Rabbanan, and it gives the whole reason why. So let's say when you pray the Maaseh Sheni has to be Davke Kesed and not Shavu Kesed. How do you establish what's called Kesed, what's Shavu Kesed? Kesed means silver. So we assume Kesed does not mean silver. Kesed means cash. The Gemara Hazor divides everything into two categories. Either it's Tiva or Peri. Either it's Matbeya, either it's coins, or it's Peri. Peri means commodities. So what's called matbeah? So the Shach says over here, whatever you hold, indeed in the Machusa, whether it's restricted only to taxes, or the government even has the right to establish a whole legal system, that's what we assume. The government does have a right to establish a whole legal system. And whenever one of the parties is a non-Jew, so the deed of the Machusa sets in, then Atar don't apply. Unless the Nochri agrees, okay, unless he's an Ugad Abu Dazar, and we're out to get him, we're out to penalize him. So the Shach says, whatever you hold as far as how far Dina Machusa goes, but Matbeah is for sure. That depends on Dina Machusa. What's considered Kesef is legal tender. Whatever the government declares as legal tender has to be accepted as payment of all debts. So that's called Kesef. And everything else is Shavu Kesef. So the Shaila is, the bottom Aramokim on page 2, I live in Washington Heights. So Rabbi Neuvir Tzichon LeBracha, the one who wrote the Shemar Shabbat Chosa, was a Yekeh, and he was brought up together with the Hefta Yekes and Embroyers. So they always supported the Yeshiva called Torah, and they always used to be in contact with him. So every year, Embroyers they put out their newsletter, the Mitteilungen. So every year on Rosh Hashanah, in the Mitteilungen, they would announce for years, Rabbi Neuwirth passed away already a few years ago. So they would announce Rabbi Neuwirth has a madbeya that he uses for Pidyon Mas Hasheni. Whoever is a member of Broyas has permission to use his madbeya, which is a Bayit Vegan, an Israeli coin. They have a right to use his madbeya for the purpose of Pidyon Mas Hasheni. So this is really a big question. We live in America, so I'm going to buy Israeli products in America, and I'm going to use an Israeli coin and buy Fagan to be paid at my Sasheni in New York. So what, and you can only be paid at my Sasheni on Kesef, not on Shavu Kesef. What's called Kesef? Legal tender in which country? So there are three logical possibilities. Does it depend on the location where the money is? Does it depend on the location where the person is? Does it depend on the location where the payers are? Let's say I have Paris and Johannesburg, and I'm in New York, and the Matbeya is in my Vagan. So should it be a South African coin? Should it be an American coin? Or should it be an Israeli coin? So the Gemara talks about it the same. So there are three logical possibilities, but there are only two Girsas in the Gemara. So where the Paris are, there is no Girsa like that. The Rambam at the bottom, Aramachim, the Rambam's Girsa in the Gemara, it's a Gemara in the end of Bava Kamma. So the Rambam's Girsa in the Gemara is that it all depends where the person is. If you're in New York, Israeli coins are not legal tender in New York. So if I'm in New York and I want to be paid in my Sasheni, wherever the Sasheni is, whether Johannesburg or London, doesn't matter. If the one who's doing the pidyon is in New York, it has to be American coins. It can't be Israeli coins. And the Ravid says, the Ravid writes over there, Min ha-Gemara shalonu, in our text in the Gemara, Shakol, I can't read, what does it say? I call Behetov, everything is like there. Then Kpeda alamid so, it doesn't matter where the person is a makam sham, alamakam amas, where is the money? Where is the money? So that this practice that they had for so many years, that Rabbi Neuwirth had an Israeli coin, and everybody in America was using it to be paid in my Shasheni when they were in America, is only valid according to the Ravid. According to the Rambam, it wouldn't be acceptable. The Chazon Ish writes that we should follow the Ravid over here because he says the Rambam obviously had a different Girsa than the Gemara. So the Chazon Ish and many other poskim say that the Rambam's Girsa, if you read the Gemara, doesn't read straight. The Hemshach and Gemara doesn't read straight. So they took a stand, they poskim like the Ravid, but not so posh. According to the Rambam, it's not proper. That's considered Shavu Kesef. You can't be paid in my Sasheni on Shavu Kesef. This is part of the story. This is not the whole story. This is part of the story of Dina de Malchus Dina. There's much more. I remember when we learned in the Koilo under Abar Lichtenstein, Zechon Levroche, he recommended to us at that time we should look in the Shuvas Dvar Avram. He was the last rabbi in Kovna before the Second World War. He died in the Kovna Ghetto from a disease before they had a chance to murder him. He was related to the Soloveitchik family. He learned in Volozhin under Reb Chaim Soloveitchik. Every so often in the Tshuvas, a quote Reb Chaim Soloveitchik. One of the Tshuvas is written to Reb Moshe Soloveitchik and the Dvar Avraham. So the very first Tshuva in the first volume, Siman Aleph, Chelek Aleph, is a long Tshuva about Dina and Malchus Dina. And that Tshuva, he has a big footnote. And he says the different areas of Dina and Malchus. One is taxes and one is to institute a legal system. One is about coinage, then he has more halachas. It's a very rich topic, but just bottom line, whoever doesn't pay taxes in America is stealing from me. It has nothing to do with Gezel Akum, because whenever you have a democracy, we're all joining together to pay for all of the needs that we share in common. And even if I don't need the public schools, you go bus a rife, and the rive of the people in New York City do need public schools, so I'm going to chip in for the public schools as well. So we'll open the floor for discussion. Baka Shah.
Rebbe said that if you don't pay taxes, it's not Gezel Akum, it's Gezel Nisra. So in terms of Nisira, in terms of punishment, in terms of Dina, a person stealing.
Strictly speaking.
How do you extend that?
Yeah, strictly speaking, Nisira. Right, so strictly speaking, Nisira is only prohibited when it's Shaloi Kidin. It means like this. The government wants to steal from a rich Jew. So that everybody dresses the same on Shabbos, everybody dresses nice, everybody is the same on the weekday, so they can't tell who's rich and who's poor. Who has millions of dollars stuffed into his mattress? In the days of the Gemara, they had no bank account. Who has a lot of money that if I go to his home, I'll be able to clean him out from a lot of money? So the government asks me, so I say, he's the rich man in the community, go in his house, you'll find millions of dollars stuffed in his mattress. The government has no right to steal his money. So that's called mesira. But strictly speaking, if a guy violated a law and he deserves to be punished, so that's not a violation of mesira. Whenever it's kiddin, it's not a violation of mesira. The only thing is like this, in state prisons, in America, it's a big hefkeres. So the warden can mistreat you, the other people in your cell can mistreat you. They can murder you. You don't deserve the death penalty. You can be sharing a cell with a drug addict, and they can murder you. They can say that you don't deserve. The din al-mechusa didn't have to suffer at their hands, nor that have to suffer at the hands of the warden. It's a really hefkeres. In the federal prisons, it's much. Federal prisons, daf yomi, kosher, it's like a hotel. It's a different story. But in the state prisons, it's mamash hefkeres. So if a person will be put into state prison, that's taka mesira, because the government will be punishing him more than the law allows. So temasa is summoned to the government that he should. So sometimes mesira is mutter. Sometimes that's a person is meitzar sarabin. A guy is a public. What's a good word?
Menace.
A pug menace. So you have to figure out who's considered a meitzar sarabin. Someone harms other people. Someone beats up his wife. Someone beats up his children. So then it says in the Chosh Mishpat that then Mesir is mutter. So you're even permitted to lock him up, to tell a government to put him away in a state prison, even though he's going to get punished more than he deserves. That's real Mesir. So then it says one is Meitzah Saram, one is Chayv B'Haver, so Mesir is mutter. But whenever it's Mesir Kidin, there's no Yis in Mesir at all. So that's only if it's going to be a federal prison. If it's going to be a state prison, then that's a problem on Mesir. But let's say if I...
In Israel?
I don't know, what are the prisons like in Israel? I visited once a prison. I once visited prison, unfortunately, where the president was in. I'm kidding. That's all right. Come over to America. Everything come over to America.
Many people in this room still have their citizenship from where the country they came from, but we live here. And I know the United States taxes foreign citizens who are residents of foreign countries.
And you pay double taxes.
They have to have
a whole group has to join together to make some deal with the government. It does make sense to pay double taxes. That's not fair. I don't know.
You mentioned that the government is permitted to make takanot like rent control, but when it came to Yerusha, we would follow Din Torah. But if the government made a takana for Yerusha, would that fall under the same as the takana for rent control? At what point, what differentiates takanot for the better society versus private takanot?
Yeah. I think Yerusha is just dinim. That's dinim, so we have our own system of dinim. That's not a takana.
But why not? They have a takana for Yerusha. It's better for society that Yerusha should work in a certain way.
Okay, that's not a takana. That's a din.
But how do you quantify what's the din and what's the takana?
A takana means you go out of your way and make the tikkun ha'olam. That's not the tikkun ha'olam. That's the laws of Yerusha. Nachar Yerusha is something about Torah. Gemara said there is a din of Yerusha by Goyim. It's not the same as by a Jew. They don't have pishtein by the Pchor and Bein Abbas Yerushim Ka'achas, but it's a normal din of Yerusha. It's not a takon of the tikkun. Takon of tikkun din means that the government is making a takon of keneged hadin. The din is one way to make that takon. The din should be I have a right to charge whatever I want for rent. So to make a takon, you have no right to charge whatever. The din should be I have a right to pay salary whatever I want. If you don't want it, don't work for me. So the government says no against the din. But Yerusha is not, it's not a takana. They're making a din. They make up whatever the din is.
They would say Ben Abbas Yachad is Tikkun Olam.
That is the din for them. No, that's not Tikkun Olam. The din is by Ben Noach, Ben Abbas Yerushim Ka'achas. Yes, the Ragachava years ago. The shtick was the Talmidim and the yeshivas, even the Litvish yeshivas, the Chassidish yeshivas. Everybody used to send a postcard to the Ragachava to ask him a kasha, to ask him a shine on learning. He would give a response by postcard. So they printed collections of these postcards. They used to have double postcards. In America, they used to have double postcards. The postage was prepaid. If he would have to pay the postage, he would go broke. They used to write so many postcards every day. So someone asked him, if we'll make a Yiddish in Medina, and we'll make a takana l'tikan Medina, that the daughter should get equal Yerusha with the sons, because in Shulchan Aruch there are more quotes from the Rishonim, that the daughters feel cheated, that they don't get Yerusha, so they have to do something. So they asked the Ragachava, what if they make, in the Medina, they make such a takana that Ben Abbas Yerushu Achas, for like the Ramon Chashimishpur is concerned about. So he says he doesn't think it's a smart idea, because that's how Christianity began. The beginning of the Christian movement, the Gemara in the end of Shabbos, he quotes only Gemara, in the end of Shabbos says that Rabbi Gamliel with his sister went to a Christian court when their father died, and it was a Shaila of Yerusha. So Rabbi Gamliel's sister gave bribery to the judge that he should pass them like Dine Bnei Noach, that the Bnei Bas Yerushim Kahachas. Then Rabbi Gamliel felt upset about that, so he gave more bribery to the Christian judge. And then, so the next day the Christian judge reversed the psak. So the sister said, what about the menorah though? She had given a menorah. What about the menorah? And then Rabbi Gamliel said, but what about the whatever he gave him? Whatever about the thing? So the Gemara says that that was one of the big first takonas of the Christians, and it was picked up from the tzedukim. His mom by Sheni, the tzedukim had a lot of shtick. So one of the shtick that they had was also about the girls yarshining equally with the boys. Tirush HaBas and Bas HaBein, that was in the days of the Bais Sheni. And so the Christians picked up a lot of this shtick from the early tzedukim. So one of them was, one of the things that was one of the first pirtzes in Judaism was that the Christians decided they should have, that the rabbis were cheating the women all the years and we should give the women equal rights. That's what the Reform movement was complaining also. Now the open Orthodox is complaining, the rabbis are cheating the women. So that's what the Ragachava writes. That was the beginning of Christianity, and we know where it's going to lead. Yeah?
If paying taxes are considered to be a shuka, so when you're talking about innocuous things like public schools and parks, what if you're talking about things that then go against the law, and now you're a shuka, and things that the government does that are isurim? So now you're a shuka and you're performing isur?
What can you do? The other shutum, you were outvoted by your wife, so what can you do? You did whatever you can, you protest and they don't listen to you. What can I do?
You mentioned something about if two Jews agree that the agreement that will go by secular law. So you suggested, and a good suggestion, I think, you know, two learned lawyers, right, Jewish, will decide. But could they make an agreement that they want a secular court to decide if they're going to take this case?
That's not right. That they should make an agreement to go to our coast, that's not permissible. It's a machlekes and achrayim. What if they agree they want to have three non-Jewish an arbitration panel that consists of non-Jews? So that's a machlekes. So some achrayim say that's okay, it's not our coast. And others say no, that's not right. To have a panel of three non-Jewish arbitrators is also equivalent to going to our coast. That's not proper. Here in Eretz Yisrael, Rav Herzog wrote years ago, before Hakamas HaMedina, so he thought they're going to make a Medina and then they're going to institute the Chashim Mishpat. So after Hakamas HaMedina, he was waiting for a telephone call from Ben Gurion. He's still waiting for the telephone call. He was so disappointed. Instead of instituting, we have Chashim Mishpat. So they have a whole concoction of Turkish law and British law and Arab law, everything but Jewish law. So the Mishpat Tivri people are working and working and working, I think. I remember years ago they told me the only thing that was incorporated into the Dina de Machusa from Chashim Mishpat was Dina HaShavus Avedim. That's very little section of Chashim Mishpat. What about everything else? Why couldn't they adopt the Chashim Mishpat? Why they have to pick up Turkish law and British law and Arab law? So Rav Herzog is still waiting for the phone call. Yeah.
Just to clarify, you mentioned before that if someone's an informant, a whistleblower,
I'd say it's a mitzvah. You should try to stop him from stealing because he's stealing from everybody else. It's Gezel Yisrael. We should warn him in advance that if he doesn't stop governing, we're going to mass him to the government. And then we should mass him to the government.
That's based on the premise that because there's other Jews that also are joining this corpus sharing, even though it's probably your net benefit is less than a Jew.
Still.
It's not considered a receipt.
But all of these ganavim together, that's why my taxes are so high, because so many ganavim. See, each ganav cheats, pachet and shavaputa, and all together I'm paying five times as much taxes as I should if all of these ganavim.
That a lot of government taxes goes to pay for who knows what that is waste. So it's not really taxes per se, that it's shmir shushpis where it's divided. It's really government money and government corruption.
There's always corruption. Every government has corruption. There's corruption all over the world that you can't stop. But bottom line, the taxes of those who do pay taxes is much higher because there's so many ganavim. So if we'll stop all the ganavim, we'll pay less taxes. So they're stealing from all of us.
Last two questions.
If kesef is deemed to be legal tender, does that come to exclude digital currencies such as Bitcoin? It's not regulated by any federal bank.
And the government declares what?
That's taxes for ribbons and things like that, it is considered to be currency. In other matters, it's considered to be commodity. But each country is different.
Uh-huh.
You can imagine the Kaddish of Lord with Bitcoin.
You can be in the Kaddish with Shabbat Kesef also.
Right.
Kedushin
is. You call them my shame.
Oh, so that should really depend on the given country. If the country declares that this is legal tender, then it's Kesef.
Last question.
A lot of people feel that nowadays the judicial branch of government is not a democratic process, depending on the time, especially now, both here in Eretz Israel and in the States, they feel that they're going against the democratic, the will of the people and the will of the elected officials.
Mm-hmm.
Does that keep them outside of the realm of shifus because they're operating above and beyond the house?
Unfortunately, that's the way this system was set up by the founding fathers of America and the founding fathers of the Medina. And that's the system, the way it works now. That's the system. Okay, we all have to join together to change the system. Because man, that's the system. The Pashto says that's Nida the Malchusa. If you have outright Chamsanus of the Malchusa, let's say the communists would confiscate things from people and Gansen Shaloike did. So that all the poskim in Europe used to say that's called Gazlanus of the Malchusa, Chamsanus of the Malchusa. So that's not legitimate. So if the communists confiscated your automobile and they give it to me, so then I'm not allowed to use the automobile because that's just the beginning. But if you have basically a legitimate system, here and there you have things that are not proper, so the public should try to straighten out the mess. It tells man that it's a pretty reasonable system. So then you said, Dina Mahusa Dina?
You saw it.
Thank you.
I just want to thank all the shuls again, BMTL, Ol Yona, Mofei Avdi Fagetz, Bikens Fagetzin, Mofei Shemesh, Raza Shul, Ol Yona Menachem, Netzach Menashe, and I want to thank Yeshiva University in particular for being our co-sponsors for today. Thank you, Stephanie Strauss of YU Israel, and of course, please remember the Sefer on Parsha in the back, the 60 shekel. Thank you so much, and have a great Shabbos, and Yashar Koach again for everyone to come out.
Help us downstairs.
Oops.